This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Place to Be Nation Universe, welcome back to our WWE pay-per-view reaction series, and we are discussing Hell in a Cell, and what a show this was. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always on these shows by my co-host, the Oracle of the WWE, Devin Hales. And Devin, it's been quite the week in the world of wrestling, and this was the cherry on top of the sundae, I think.
It's probably been the biggest week in wrestling in, I don't know, 20 years. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but I don't really think it is. Lots of big changes. WWE's moved to Fox was on Friday. We had the Wednesday Night War, the first week of the Wednesday Night War. And I actually flipped channels back and forth, which was kind of fun. So that was a cool experience. So yeah, it's been a pretty wild week for wrestling, and this was certainly an interesting show to cap it off.
Yeah, this show basically kind of came off as an afterthought regarding, you know, SmackDown being so heavily promoted and plugged, and, you know, coming off like it did, being a huge success for WWE and Fox, and then we have Hell in a Cell. And We've talked about this on these shows so many times, and tonight was proof again. We have to do away with these Sting gimmick match shows. Because, oh, God, yes. I mean, there was really nothing tonight that needed to be in a Hell in a Cell. It's, again, stuff we got where you're forced to use. I mean, it looks like TLC may be gone, so that's one thing, but, I mean, we got to change this. They got to do something about this. Hell in a Cell should be used for something when it needs to be used. It shouldn't be a show. So,
no.
We'll talk about that more later on. But, yeah, that's the running theme of this, for sure. All right, pre-show, we only have one match. Natalya against Lacey Evans. And really, I mean, up until an hour before the pre-show started, there were only like four matches announced, so we came into this with a lot of question marks. Then they announced the matches on Twitter, and then made a match during the pregame show. But we start off with Natalya and Lacey Evans. These two have been feuding on Raw recently. Had a match here. It was okay. Nothing spectacular. Natalya got the sharpshooter, got the win, and then used her own right hand on Lacey Evans. So Natty picks up a big victory. I know you're a huge Natty fan. So what were your thoughts on this match?
You know, I thought the match was actually pretty decent. I think Lacey Evans has gotten to be pretty good in the ring, actually. She was good here. I liked her limb work. I think she's actually excelled at limb work recently. I think she's actually pretty good at it. I liked her work over Natty's leg. This was a decent little match. Natalya is not my favorite at all, and I thought she had cheesy, bad facial expressions in the post match because she sucks. But yeah, you know, this was and also Lacey Evans' sharpshooter is way better than hers. There was that deal, you know, because, you know, the reason this match happened is they've been having a TV feud the last month, and Lacey locked in the sharpshooter at the Raw in Knoxville here that I was at, and Natty got on Twitter and was like, my sharpshooter is way better than yours or something, and was like, no, it's not. It's far worse. Natty's got a sharpshooter that The Rock would laugh at. So, this was actually a decent match, though. I'll give them credit. I actually thought it was a fine match.
Yeah, and we're not done with that yet, as they announced later in the show that they're going to be rematched on Raw tomorrow night. Well, tonight. as you listen to this, in a last woman standing match.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. All right, they made a match during the pregame show that and Ali being interviewed, and he was talking about coming up short lately, and then Randy Orton showed up and said that he started all this by injuring Ali, and Ali got pissed off, challenged Orton to a match, and Orton accepted. So there you go. Another match for later on the show. All right. That's really all there was in the pre-show. So, yeah, just that simple. All right, we start off with, on the main show, with the Raw Women's title in the Hell in a Cell match, Becky and Sasha. Now, this one, I guess you could maybe justify partly being held in a cell, maybe. And, I mean, yeah, there's a history. Sasha, of course, is in the first Women's Hell in a Cell match with Charlotte. And this feud has been going back and forth lately. Becky been getting most of the better of Sasha, but Sasha's gotten her chances here. So they go in here, and yeah, they have a hell of a damn match. I mean, just control chaos, as I've said before. I'm working at a fast pace, doing a lot of crazy shit. Lots of stuff going on. The women using the chairs, using weapons. We have kendo sticks, ladders, chairs. Innovative spots such as Becky putting Sasha on a chair that was wedged in the cage under with kendo sticks under it. And then doing a flying drop kick off the apron into Sasha's chest. So Sasha took a safe bump there and didn't hit her head, but the back went to the cage. A lot of, you know, just these women just hitting each other very hard, as expected. Sasha and a meteora on Lynch first, that was into a ladder on the floor, and then hit one later on where Becky jumped in the air perfectly when Sasha was coming off, so the table would break. These women are smart. They see that video of the Bayley Charlotte house show match where the table didn't break, and Bayley being pissed off at the table. I mean, smart move by Becky to jump in the air to enforce that table breaking. But even that wasn't the finish, and they kept on and on. And yeah, this was a really, really strong match. And then, we had the bank statement with kendo stick over Becky's face. And then Becky suplexed Sasha on some chairs. And then hit the disarmer and got the win. So Becky retained. I know there were quite a few people surprised about that. But she retained. Sasha was very upset on the ramp while Becky celebrated victory. And yeah, one of the best Hell in a Cell matches we've had in recent memory, I'll say. These two women went out there and brought it. They had a hell of a damn match. And, yeah, that's that. So, your thoughts on the match and Becky retaining the championship. Kind of a surprise, or what do you think?
Match was great. Yeah, I really liked this match a lot. I think it helped that it didn't have the... It had tempered expectations in comparison to the first Women's Hell in a Cell with Sasha and Charlotte. I think that one had tons of expectations and high expectations, and I think it was a great match. I think some people kind of overrated that one, and I think some may have even underrated it. And you know, the expectation, this one had tempered expectations, and I think that helped it. And they were just, you know, the expectations just kind of let everybody watch it for what it was. And like you said, it was a very good controlled chaos match, and some big bumps, big spots. All those meteora spots were nasty. You know, like you pointed out, the bump Sasha took off the drop kick into the cell, wedged with a chair, whatever, was safe, but it looked nasty and it looked great. There were a lot of headshots tonight with chairs. There was a, when they were setting up the finish, Sasha literally hit Becky in the head with a chair, like full force, which kind of stunned me. That was very surprising. I did not expect that. But, you know, it happened. Big Bexploder off the top, under the chairs, disarmer, tap, retain. Great match. Becky retaining, I was a little bit surprised, but she's been featured and been pushed as number one star in the entire company, really. Even over Roman this year, you know. I think Roman's certainly the ace in men's division. But Becky really is being pushed as the guy and the man. Pun intended,
well, she got to be with The Rock on SmackDown.
Yes, she did. And that was a very big segment for her. And her winning is really not that surprising if you think about it. I don't know where they're going to go with Sasha.
SmackDown.
She's back, and I think she's, yeah. I think that's probably a good chance of that. But, you know, there's a lot of things that they can do. You know, we have to remember that this is sort of, this show, as we talked about in the last show, is kind of the end of an era and the end of these storylines.
Some of them.
well, the main event. Yeah, we'll get to that. But, you know, this is, I think, one of those things where this feud ends and the draft's going to affect one or the other. Somebody's getting moved somewhere. And this was sort of the end of it in terms of their rivalry for the time being, I think. Great match. And like you said, I think it was probably the best Hell in a Cell match since that New Day Usos tag, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
Better than any of the ones last year. So,
I think the main reason why there's probably some surprise that Becky retained was, I mean, because she was in that with The Rock on SmackDown. She was, kind of an integral part of, the SmackDown hype, with Fox, and she looks like she's not going to be on SmackDown. So, yeah, I mean, it's just interesting how that is. So, I don't know. We'll see. Well, they do some crazy stuff, but I don't know how you can explain the Raw Women's Champion being on SmackDown. So I doubt she gets moved.
Yeah, that'll be tough.
Exactly. All right, next match, and I'm kind of surprised they went with this one this early. Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan against Luke Harper and Eric Rowan in a Texas Tornado match. Roman Reigns being in a cool-off match. Who would have thought? But there, here we are. And this was a really, really, another really good match. These teams work great together. Bryan looked good. Back to working babyface again, which is great. And Roman was Roman, and Harper and Rowan are a good team. We got all kind of brawling outside the ring, which also helps out. They had some limb work here a little bit. And Roman, they hit him with it. What was it they hit him with exactly when he was outside?
It was like it was like the barricade.
The barricade wall. All right, he got hit with a barricade wall when he was out hanging with the fans, and was out of the picture. So they're working on Bryan. They're about to give him a double powerbomb through a table, but Bryan gets a great reversal, a Hurricane Rana on Harper, who takes a nice bump off the table to the floor, and then out of nowhere, here comes Roman jumping on the table and then running towards Rowan with a big spear. Great spot. Great stuff. And then, the match picked up from there. They got back in the ring. Got some near falls. Reigns and Superman punch on Harper. Bryan hit the knee. Then a spear. So Harper took a Superman punch, the running knee, and a spear. So he took three finishers, basically. And Roman and Daniel Bryan won the match. Bryan put his hand out. Roman's like, I don't know. Bryan said, how about a hug? Fans went crazy. And they hugged. Place went nuts. And that's that. So, two things here. Your thoughts on the match. And two, I'm kind of thinking I could be wrong on this. I think Bryan's going to end up on Raw in the draft. So, this could be the end. Like I said, the end of this story. Finally, and Bryan going to Raw. So, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that.
The match was awesome. I really, really liked this. I thought it was a great match. Really well done, fast paced, kept the action going. I like that they were able to work in the face and peril stuff for both baby faces, mixed it in nicely. They built up the comebacks. The huge comeback spot with the Rana and the spear on through the table was great, like you mentioned. Awesome finish. Great match. Great post-match. I kind of think the post-match was kind of the end of the tale, too, you know, with the hug and whatnot and the raising of the arm. I think you're probably right. I think there's something to it that Brian might go to Raw. I think Roman's, you know, Roman is on SmackDown.
Oh yes,
I think that's pretty clear. I don't believe he's. I don't believe he's leaving.
No.
But Brian is someone who I think very well might make his way to Raw.
Brian with Paul Heyman. You know that's interesting.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That'll be an interesting combination. Yeah, this is another one of those deals where I think it was the end of one thing and we're going to get start anew, I suppose, would be the phrase, next week with the draft. So I think you might be on it with Brian getting drafted to Raw. I think that might be the case here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely could see that for sure. And the thing is, the one thing now that kind of maybe makes me second guess it is I kind of thought Rollins was going to lose tonight and he would go to SmackDown. Like, I was thinking Rollins and Becky were going to lose tonight and both of them go to SmackDown. But it doesn't look that way. So, yeah, I guess maybe Brian could still SmackDown. Who knows? But this, again, this felt like the end of this. So, we'll see. I don't know, with Brian's, you know, back to babyface deal again, I mean, it's kind of hard that I think to have him on SmackDown. I think he needs, because you got Owens kind of doing Brian's old gimmick in a way on SmackDown already, so, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
We'll see. All right, next up, Randy Orton against Ali. And this was a fun match. Orton worked O-style, of course, slowing the match down, doing his thing, keeping it at his pace. But Ali would step it up and hit some crazy dives and stuff. Ali at one point had this nasty looking bruise in his ribs. And Orton was working on it. And yeah, that was a great visual to show you that, you know, these types of things can happen in matches. And so yeah, Ali has some really good near falls. Orton tried to go for an RKO, and Ali had one of the most innovative counters I've ever seen. He went down and then caught himself with his hands and sprung back up. Very creative. Problem was he did a backflip roll and then come back up, and there's an RKO. Orton just got him with it, and great looking RKO. Orton gets the win. Kind of felt like closure in this way. And for the Ali deal on SmackDown, I think Ali's going to Raw as well. I think he's a guy that Heyman could do something with. But I don't know. I could be wrong. We'll see. But your thoughts on the match here?
Match was real good. Another really good match. One of the better Randy Orton matches in a while, actually. And you know, Ali's a guy who can bump magnificently and work around Randy being Randy, but you know, I'm enjoying the old man Randy Orton. I think he's a lot of fun.
Oh, I think he's having. I think Randy Orton's having more.
Particularly when he says, you know, funny shit like he did
Raw.
Raw this week, yes, with the Flair.
Yeah, I think Orton's having more fun now in his career than he's ever had in this era of his career. I really do. I mean, you see the stuff he does on social media, like the stuff with the John Cena cutout where he was hugging it and stuff like that, and he was, I mean, on his knees in front of it. I mean, and just some of the tweets he puts out there. I mean, he's a guy that clearly is secure in who he is. And it's having fun and really doesn't care. You know? He just doesn't care.
Right.
And, I mean, he's a different guy. He's, let's say, like, he's more relaxed now than he was when he was younger, for sure. I mean, when he was having all his problems, his attitude problems. And just by telling on social media, it seems like his marriage is really great. And, you know, hey, that helps out. That helps out with some of these folks, man. I mean, you have a great marriage and your spouse is, you know, very supportive and is fun and stuff like that. Then, yeah, I mean, it can make your life better. But, yeah, so what else you got?
I mean, yeah, it was like I said, it was a good match. Great counter to the RKO. Never seen that before. You know, sometimes you think you've seen all of them, but that was awesome. And great way to go into the RKO, too. So, yeah, good match.
And Ali, you think he goes to Raw, stays on SmackDown?
I think you might be right about the Ali going to Raw thing, too. I think Heyman's going to get his Malenko, Scorpio, Jericho, Benoit, Eddie Bunch. You know, which are the Brian, Ali, Cedric,
Ricochet
group. You know what I mean? Right, Ricochet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he might be on to something there.
Yeah. All right, next match. SmackDown, well, WWE Women's Tag Title, excuse me. It's on both brands. Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, defending against the Kabuki Warriors. Asuka and Kairi Sane, who, when told this a best match, Alexa especially was like, well, they do deserve this. They haven't won anything lately. Well, there really isn't anybody else that really qualifies right now. That's the thing with the women's tag situation here. I mean, they haven't had time to do anything with these tag teams, and they pretty much burn out. Like Mandy and Sonya went through them, and yeah, I mean, there's really nothing else there, so why not? Of course, Paige is with the Kabuki Warriors right now because of her recent surgery. And they come out here, and the match is good for what it was. It's good stuff. The one thing that was on that we got mentioned before on commentary early in the match, when Michael Cole was talking about the draft, he made it kind of clear that it was about the networks more than it was the brands, which I thought was interesting. He said Fox and USA want their separate brands with their own stars. So. Networks, not the show names. Thought that was interesting. Anyway, back to the match. Alexa hit a big cannonball off the apron on the Kyrie on the floor while Asuka and Nikki were in the ring. And then Asuka spat the green mist in Nikki's eyes and kicked her in the head. And we have new champions. Yes, the green mist has returned to wrestling, folks. And, yeah, I mean... That's the thing where people were saying this was supposed to be a heel turn. It's WWE. They're not facing the heels anymore. Come on. That's just, they are what they are. But, yeah, I thought that I love the finish. I love, you know, the mist coming back. It makes total sense with Asuka's character. And Alexa and Nikki have been good, but it was time for a change. And let's see what Alexa and Kairi do now in this, you know, in this role of Alexa, I mean, of Asuka supposed to be in a heel, you know, and all that stuff. So, it's going to be interesting. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it was a fine little match. I was almost shocked the Kabuki Warriors had a pay-per-view match. I was like, what? they're actually on a pay-per-view? Yeah, you know, the match was whatever, but I love the finish. I thought that was a really awesome way to get... to get the Kabuki Warriors back in the spotlight and getting them that tag title win. That was an awesome finish. I popped for that. That was really well done. I liked that a lot.
You know, maybe in the draft, maybe we can get some, you know, some new teams set up, or hell, maybe some old teams. Why not? Liv Morgan has only been on SmackDown one time since the shakeup. Why not? She can go back to the Raw and team back up with Sarah again.
Yes.
Why not?
Why not?
You know, yeah. It's going to be interesting how that goes. All right, before the next match, they recapped the Braun Strowman-Tyson Fury angle from SmackDown. Yes, the lineal boxing heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, and which Dio Madden had one of the greatest lines in a long time on the show, where he actually name-dropped Brian Fury. Independent wrestler from Massachusetts, Brian Fury. Love that. But we found out that this is something that the Saudis have are part of. Just like Brock and Cain Velasquez.
God. I think doing that stuff on that show is a mistake. But I know it's them, and I know they will. But I don't know. I think it's a mistake. But we could maybe get into that later.
Yeah, but they recapped that, so that leads to the Viking Raiders and a mystery partner versus the OC. Now, I was wondering here, are they going to trot out Ricochet or Cedric as a mystery partner here, even though you know they've teamed with the Viking Raiders numerous times? That seemed like that would be something they would do. No, it was Braun. And Braun got on the show, and Braun got quite the showcase here. He ran through all the OC here numerous times. OC got tired of it and started beating it down. Got a DQ finish. So that's the first DQ finish of the night. And then Viking Raiders went out to the Gallows and Anderson. Styles went for the phenomenal forum. But Strowman knocked him out with the right hand. So yes, AJ got these hands. And Braun is the new Big Show. And then AJ AJ did a pretty great job of selling. And in fact, he didn't know where he was at one point. They told him it's Sunday and he's in Sacramento. And yeah, AJ was comical in his selling here. But yeah, I mean, I guess this, I mean, this match was what it was, you know, tying up the you know, maybe the loose ends here with the Viking Raiders and the OC. We'll see. But it was mainly the Braun showcase. So what was your thoughts on this segment?
Yeah, that's basically what it was for. It was there to build up the Braun Fury deal. I'm sure they'll have some type of showdown tomorrow on Raw, as Tyson Fury will be there on Raw.
With an open mic, which can be very interesting.
Yes.
For those you don't know about Tyson Fury, go do your research on him. He has said some controversial things over the years. To say the least.
This was, you know, the match was fine for what it was. You know, it was fun, the little match. You know, didn't have a clean ending. But, you know, I think it was, you know, I don't think they want the OC losing. I think they're obviously an important act on Raw, and AJ's the U.S. champ. I don't think they, you know, I mean, not that Carl or Doc couldn't lose. Luke Gallows can lose, but but yeah, you know, this is definitely a little deal with to build up Braun and Fury, and you're spot on. Braun is definitely the Big Show now. He's turned face and heel 7 or 8 times. Like, he's got this marquee match with a celebrity athlete. He's definitely the new Big Show. That's exactly correct.
And what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a good spot for him. You know, I think a lot of people wanted him to be the new Taker.
I think we have that.
I don't. Right. We probably do. That's not what he is. He sort of ended up being the new Big Show, and I'm fine with that. I like the Big Show. I think Braun excels in these things. Comedy or goofy or crazy or whatever, you know, with these showdowns with other athletes. I think he's someone who's good at it. And the Big Show was, and I think it's a good spot for him.
Yeah, at least he's getting used.
Right, so, exactly.
There you go. All right, after the match, Street Profits were in the back, talking about Raw. And talking about a draft showcase on Raw, which was the first I've heard of that. So, whatever, who knows what that is. But R-Truth Carmella runs in, where R-Truth runs into the Street Profits, and Carmella gets caught in the crossfire, and Tamina rolled up Carmella and won the 24/7 championship. And then ran into Tyler Breeze and knocked him down. Tyler Breeze getting to go to Sacramento for this, just to that spot. What about that? So, here we go. 24/7.
That's actually the one segment I didn't catch. I had some network issues tonight, and that's the one thing I didn't catch on the show. Because later, when I saw Tamina was with the belt, I was like, what the hell is going on? So, yeah, I actually didn't see that. That's very amusing that they brought Tyler Breeze in for
the
that.
The best part about it was they cut the Michael Cole and Corey Graves in the ringside, and Michael said something to Corey. I forget what it was, of course. Said, yeah, maybe I can have some sleep tonight. I love the Corey Carmella relationship is now it's become a thing on television, and it keeps on going. Hilarious. All right, next is yet another match in the series of Chad Gable and King Corbin, where Corbin got on the microphone before the match and proclaimed that Chad Gable's new name is Shorty Gable, which Corey Graves used a lot on commentary. This is a pretty good match here between these two. These two have had some really good matches together, and this continued that. A lot of the stuff that you've seen between these guys, lots of near falls. Corbin went for the end of days. Gable slipped out and got a moonsault, went for a near fall. Gable tried to get the ankle lock. Corbin got the ropes. And then Corbin tried to hit Gable with a scepter, but Gable ducked. And as the referee was trying to take the scepter away from Corbin, Gable rolled him up for the win. And which Greg Hamilton on the microphone announced that Shorty Gable was the winner. Which was hilarious. So Chad gets a win over the King, Devin, and this wasn't the last we saw these two on the show, but he got a win on him. What are your thoughts?
Match was very good again. It wasn't quite as good as their two TV matches, but it was very good. The Shorty Gable stuff was absurd. Really liked the finish. Glad that Gable finally got the win. They've been building to that and building to that. Finally gets it in the third match. The post-match was hilarious with Greg Hamilton announcing him and Michael Cole getting mad. Just very stupid but funny. The whole Shorty Gable stuff is just absurd. But yeah, this match was very good. These guys could probably have great matches every night. I'm kind of stunned at how good their chemistry is. But yeah, this was another good match between these two. And we'll get to it here in a few minutes. But doesn't look like it's going to end. Or at least we'll probably have another one pretty soon between the two.
Yep. All right. Next we get the international announcers being introduced. And we get Tamina being chased by R-Truth and Carmella. Funaki gets involved as Tamina pulls him in front of her. He gets thrown into R-Truth. Carmella hits Tamina with a super kick. Truth pins her for the title. Carmella told Truth to cover her from the title, no less. So there you go. And then Carmella gets on Truth's back and they ride away into the sunset. So looks like Carmella was tired of the 24/7 life.
I love the Funaki bit though. That was fun.
Yes.
That was entertaining.
Yes. Yeah, so like he was going to try to get his way into it, try to win him a title. Good Lord. All right, next, SmackDown Women's title. Bayley defending against Charlotte Flair. Now, if you've been watching stuff this week on Fox and stuff, you would see that Charlotte has been an integral figure in the promotion of SmackDown on Fox. That should have been your clue. I mean, these two had a good little match here. Charlotte went for the figure four. Bayley got an inside cradle from their fall. Bayley didn't try to use the ropes for a legal pin, but the ref caught her. And Charlotte hit the big boot and got the figure eight and won the title. And after the match, Bayley decided to reprise WrestleMania all over again by crying and rolling on the floor.
Well, we're going to have to talk about the post-match for these two women because that was definitely on purpose.
All right, so, yep, Charlotte has won the title from Bayley. So now, thoughts on the match, thoughts on the post-match, and does Bayley stay on SmackDown or she go to Raw? Do we get a Sasha Bayley trade here?
Match was okay. They've had better matches. Wasn't bad. It was just there. I knew Charlotte was going to win. I knew she was. But the post-match is hilarious. This was clearly done with Sasha and Bayley pouting and crying. Like, this was clearly done as a callback to the absurdity of WrestleMania week. This was certainly for that. It was very amusing. And of course, Twitter had a field day with it. This was certainly done on purpose. I was amused by it. But you know, I kind of think you're right. I think they, you know, I guess I could disagree with you on these trade rumors or predictions, but I kind of think you're right. I think, this is another rivalry and feud that's kind of ended for now, and we might get a Bayley Sasha swap and change things up a little bit. I think you might be right again.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like musical chairs, but we'll see. We'll see.
musical chairs with the NXT 4.
Exactly.
It really is kind of like that.
Exactly. Negus, new blood in there. New blood. All right. Next, Kayla interviews Chad Gable, who she called him Shorty as well. He says, okay, I'm the bigger man. And then Corbin beat the shit out of him as he caught him out of nowhere. So there you go.
I'm sure they'll have it wouldn't surprise me if they had a rivalry feud ending match tomorrow night on Raw, just kind of like Lacey and Natty had announced tonight. I think they might have a stip match of some kind tomorrow.
We will see.
Maybe. Right.
Now, I think it's fun. Hell in a Cell for the Universal Heavyweight title. Seth Rollins against The Fiend Bray Wyatt. 5 days ago. I think it's 5 days ago. It was this week. WWE's Twitter account put a poll up asking the fans what they thought the finish of this match was going to be. Pinfall, submission, or disqualification? And you may be wondering yourself, this Hell in a Cell match, how can there be a DQ finish? Well, they set it up, folks. They let you know. They let you know that something was brewing. Now, I did the Between the Sheets podcast with my co-host David Pixiespan, and we recorded our halftime segment of the show during the pre-show, as a matter of fact, of Hell in a Cell. And off air, we were just talking about Hell in a Cell, and, you know, his thoughts on the show, and this match came up. And I told Bix, I said, there's no way in hell they do a clean finish here. Something's going to happen. It's just a question of what. How they're going to do it. How they're going to get around it. Because there really was no way for The Fiend to lose this early. And The Fiend character really does not need the Universal Championship. And so, no. They booked themselves in this match, and now it's again one of those cases where one of these shows, and really just one of these shows, I guess you would say, just period. You book yourself in this spot, and now you gotta get your way out of it. Well, they had the match. Of course, The Fiend got his big interest. He hasn't done it since SummerSlam, so we have that. And then the place remained red, which I thought was cool. I thought it was different. But see, I went in this match thinking this match is not going to go 5 to 7 minutes. It shouldn't go 5 to 7 minutes. Fiend should not be in long matches, especially not this early. Well, I was wrong. This match went way too long. It got way too plodding. It was cool to start off with. It got way too plodding. Seth trying to do whatever he could to put the Fiend away with stomps and weapons. It just got overkill and overkill, and the fans started actively booing by this point in time because they're tired of this. And he hit pedigree, Fiend kicked out, huge pop, continued the curb stomping, the fans were booing, Bray just wasn't moving. Seth hit and then brought a chair in the ring, and hit, quote unquote, Bray in the head with a chair, which of course he hit the ring. But, you know, camera editing, you know, could make it look like he hit him in the head. And then he got a ladder in, smashed a chair with a smashed a ladder with a chair, no near fall, toolbox, and just started beating him up with the toolbox. Nothing. Then he goes and grabs a sledgehammer and gets in the ring. And the referee, which I can't remember which referee this was, this came off so Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels book situation here. Triple H probably had this. Don't do it! Don't do it! And Rollins acted like, you know, he was not going to hit him with a sledgehammer. And then did it. Now, Bix, when I was gloating to Bix after the match about being right on this, he said, well, I don't think it was DQ finish, it was KO finish. No, it was DQ finish. The referee DQ. And the fans went nuts. Not in the right way, either, for this match. Loudly chanting bullshit. We had lots of loud booing. Had AEW chants. As they had medical staff going to check on Wyatt. And then as Seth went over to Wyatt, Wyatt sat up, gave him the mandible claw. And Wyatt gave him the Sister Abigail on the floor. Which at that point in time, the fans started chanting, restart the match, restart the match. They didn't do it. Then another AEW chant. And then Wyatt put the mandible claw in as we got the strobe light effect. Fans were loudly booing, pissed off at this. And they were absolutely right in their anger on this. If I had been a customer in that crowd, I would have been pissed off at how that was handled. I would have been extremely pissed off. If I had been paying $50 for this show on pay-per-view, I would have been extremely pissed off. And this is going to, and I'm going to bring this question up. The fact that all these shows are on the network now for $10 a month, and it's just part of the whole grand scheme of things. I don't know about you, but I think it's kind of changed my thought process in a way on some of this, considering, I don't know. I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. It was terrible. It's a horrific way to end the show. It's total shit fest. But I just laughed it off, basically, because I'm looking at this for myself. I mean, what did I lose? You know, but if I pay money to go see this live, then that's what I'm saying. I'm totally different. If I pay $50 to watch this on pay-per-view, I'm totally different. So I'll get your thoughts on that and the match itself and just everything involved here.
You know, I kind of liked the first few minutes with the red lighting and of course Bray's entrance is awesome and the no selling of the kendo stick shots. I knew this was going to go too long. I knew it was a mistake from the start, this whole thing. And it ended up being worse than I thought it would be. It was just awful. Seth basically annihilated and just destroyed the Fiend over and over again. I mean, that's basically what it was. Just total boring. It was WWE's attempt at, oh, it's Halloween month. It's Hell in a Cell. Let's do the thing where the hero tries to kill Mike Myers or Jason or some stupid bullshit like that, and they can't kill him. Like, it was just it was bad. It was awful. It was embarrassing. I mean, it was just bad acting, just bad all around. I mean, Seth's acting, God, Seth sucks. The fans hate him. They think he stinks. He does. had the lowest rated segments on Raw. And, you know, I'm not entirely, like, I like the Fiend stuff. I thought he's produced, you know, he's been produced well. He's had some good segments. And, you know, the biggest question is, you know, he's never going to be somebody who's going to have killer matches. But this whole deal was just not going to work out. And it ended up being worse than I thought. And the fans were rightfully pissed off about it. Very bad ending to the show. Very bad ending to a very good show. It's a shame. Obviously this will continue. in some form or fashion. But yeah, I was not a fan of this match at all. I'm with you, you know, $9.99, it ain't so bad. You know, you just kind of chuckle and, you know, it's bad, it's annoying maybe, but it's like, eh, whatever. Like, that's happened a lot in the last 6 years with the network. A lot of just going, eh, whatever. A lot of apathy. I'm not sure that's a good thing. I think it allows them to get away with a lot more shit. You know, if I would have paid $50, I would have been pissed off. If I would have been at the building, I would have been really pissed off. So I'm definitely with you there. Yeah, this was about as opposite of a home run as you can get in terms of this main event and the booking of it. It was pretty bad.
All right, now the question is, where do you go from here? Seth, it really is time to probably go a different direction with Seth. I don't know what that is. I mean, he just won the title back at SummerSlam, so I wouldn't say a title change, but he's just not working right now in the way he's being presented and everything. It's just not working. All right. And now you have the situation with Bray, who was kind of a hot figure right now, hot act. And now you just did this. And a lot of people are pissed off about this. And you may have really hurt your momentum with the Fiend character now. So, what do you do? I mean, how do you try to fix this?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, you know, the very ending of the show seems to suggest this is going to continue. But
oh yeah, they're going to continue.
Be the case. I mean, it's just, you know. I mean, they're obviously are, but I don't know where you go with this. Like,
I guess they're going to do something at Crown Jewel.
They can't, though. I mean, Seth's in that Flair tag. But, of course, you know, so cards have to change. They could change that a million times.
You are right about that. I didn't think about that. So, all right. So, what's our next pay-per-view after this?
Survivor Series. That's it. You know, that's a long time away.
All right, here's this, then. All right. So, is the way to get around this just having these two be split off into separate shows?
Boy, maybe.
Do you draft the Fiend? If you're SmackDown, you put the Fiend on SmackDown?
Well, there's been rumors of Fox wanting the Fiend.
I mean, the Fiend was on Fox and Friends, and then Fox advertising numerous times last week.
Yes, he was.
So, the thing is, though, is, I mean, if that's the case, then you really just sacrifice Seth for this. Did. So, I mean, of all the things they could have done tonight, they went with probably the worst thing they could have done.
Well, neither guy looked good at the end.
Yeah, I mean, you just really fucked it up. And yeah. It's going to be interesting. Like I said, it's going to be very interesting to see Raw, to see how they play this off. And good. Not good at all. I mean, that's not the way. I mean, not the way you want your show to go off the air. And now, especially in this time in the wrestling business, when, I mean, you have another show to compete against, even though it's against NXT, but still, it's another national wrestling promotion that had a very good first week. You don't want to give them any type of momentum. You don't want to send people over to watch that show. Doing stuff like this could do that. Again, even though it's not against Raw or SmackDown, you run the risk of doing that. So, right. Again, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Definitely going to be interesting. They got a lot to do this week.
Oh, yeah.
A lot to do this week. So, we'll find out. Raw again. Raw feels like it's going to be one of the most lame duck shows ever.
Oh yes, the Tyson Fury thing will be interesting. Yes. But,
well, let's talk about that. Otherwise,
it's okay. Yeah.
All right. So if Tyson Fury, Cain Velasquez, it seems like that they're going to be involved to work with the Saudis on the on Crown Jewel. Brock and Kane, that just seems that's just not the place I would have done that match.
Do it at Survivor. So come on, don't do it at that show. And it's not even like it's like not enough people are going to see it.
It's going to be on Halloween on a Thursday at 1 p.m.
And nobody's going to watch that
on match. Halloween.
That's a horrible decision. Awful.
They're getting paid all this big money. That's what they're looking
even,
at.
Even if you subtract your moral and political opinions, that's a terrible time. It's a terrible place to do that match. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, same thing with the Fury Braun thing. Oh, I think that's less, that's less, you know, that's less aggravating to me. But come on. Like, Jesus, give me a break. Like, that's a terrible idea. Terrible decision.
Yeah, and
total waste.
But that's money. Money talks in every way.
Yep.
Fox money, yep. Saudi's money, it all talks. And it's talking to WWE right now. And that's what's on their mind.
Money, yeah. I guess, you know, they found a way to make money without anybody watching. Because that's going to be the case on Halloween afternoon.
Yeah, on a Thursday.
Yep.
That's weird. But anyway, I'll be at work, so I won't be watching it. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be working.
It'll be on demand. I mean, if you don't watch it, you can watch it whenever you want to watch it. But, man. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. And then SmackDown's going to be the next night. And that show's pretty much probably going to be a heavy women's show, probably, and just the guys that didn't go to Saudi Arabia. That should be an interesting show. Yeah. So,
yep.
Wow. As the world turns in World Wrestling Entertainment. All right, let's give our thoughts on this show. Thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down?
I'm going to go thumbs in the middle. The show, first half was real good. Second half had some good things. Ending was terrible. I want to give it a thumbs up, but the main event was too bad. You know, it's a shame. I probably would have given it a thumbs up, but the main event just sucked. So, thumbs in the middle from me.
All right. I'm thumbs down. I mean, you can't do what you did in the main event. And I've done this before on this show with Brock Lesnar. You know, you can't do what you did in the main event of a show like this and me justify giving the show a thumbs up. I'm sorry. Even though there was some really good match on this show, especially the beginning of the show, there's no way I could give this a thumbs up. No way. Not even thumbs in the middle. It's thumbs down. Because, I mean, you basically all but killed that town. Tonight.
Yep.
In a lot of ways. I mean, it's going to be interesting what happens when they go back to Sacramento. Whenever that is. It's going to be interesting how that goes. But you basically just killed the town. And you basically killed, all but killed, you know, the hottest character you had going in your company. And you made your Universal Champion look like even more of an idiot. And, I mean, And doing this while you now have a competition, while you have another promotion that's going against you, I mean, yep. I don't know. It's baffling.
A promotion that has already more than doubled. Granted, it was their big premiere, but more than doubled the coveted demographic. Of the show that you ran against them.
Oh yeah. I mean, AEW has definitely got some momentum for sure. I mean, they had a very strong first week. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens now. Your first rating. I mean, definitely. it was higher than what I thought it was going to be, but I knew they would do really good in their first week. And the true story is, now do they come back? Well, you just gave a lot of people a reason to come back as WWE. Not the best thing to do. Not the best thing to do. So, you got to do something to figure this shit out, you know. Let's see how you can get out of this. They've done it before, but we'll see if they can do it again. All right. That's it for this show. We thank all of you for listening. Devin, thank you, especially after your rough week this week in your personal life. Lucky you're okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yep. For those who don't know, Devin's apartment building has some arson issues. So he's had it rough this week. Luckily, he wasn't there. But right. And nobody got hurt. That's one good thing, too. But it's a total inconvenience for him and his brother, Dustin. So hopefully by the time we record this again, everything will be worked out fine in their favor. But that's a whole nother story. All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening. So long for the Peach State of Georgia.
Consideration paid for by the following.
Place Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceMination.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceMination.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceMination.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, once again, I appreciate it. And I got to say, I don't know a thing about this song now, but...
Oh, I think you do.
Let me sing it to you like this. Get a tune going. I know, get it going there. Get Danny in the truck. Get the tune going. Folks, I'd like to sing a song about the American dream. No, not Dusty Rhodes, son of a plumber, Stardust, if you will.
Are you an Athathan, or are you an errand boy? Are you an Athathan, or are you an errand boy?
About me, about you, about the way our American hearts, or Canadian, or Mexican, or whatever nationality you may be, folks. I'm not trying to single anybody out. Beat down in the bottom of our chest. About the special feeling we get in the cockles of our hearts. Maybe below the cockles now. Maybe in the subcockle area. It's not for me to say. Maybe even in the liver. Maybe even the kidney. Maybe even in the colon. Which I'd have to mention to you, I had a portion of my colon removed at one point. We don't know. I am just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white suburbanite slob. I like football and porno and books about war. I've got an average house with a nice hardwood floor. My wife and my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. Look naked.
but sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested. Oh, no! No way! Uh-uh! No, I've got to go out and have fun at someone else's expense. Oh, yeah! Yeah! Yeah, yeah! Oh, yeah! I drive really slow in the ultra-fast lane. While people behind me are going insane, I'm an asshole. Yes, I am an asshole. Well, I use public toilets and I piss on the seat. I walk around in the summertime saying, how about this damn heat? I'm an asshole. Folks, it's as simple as this. I am an asshole. I'm an asshole. Maybe I shouldn't be singing this song, ranting and raving and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they tell my ass that I'm wrong. Then again, no. I'm an asshole. Me? I'm an asshole. You know what I'm going to do, Nick? I'm going to get myself a 1967 Cadillac Eldorado convertible, just like the kind that Leroy McGirt used to drive around. Hot pink with whale skin hubcaps, an all leather cow interior, and big brown baby seal eyes for headlights. And then I'm going to drive around in that son of a bitch at 115 miles per hour, getting 1 mile per gallon, sucking down quarter pounder cheeseburgers from McDonald's in the old fashioned non-biodegradable styrofoam containers. And then when I'm done sucking down those greaseball burgers, I'm going to wipe my ass with the American flag. And then I'm going to toss the styrofoam container right out the side, and there ain't a goddamn thing anybody can do about it. You know why? Because we got the bomb. That's why. Two words, nuclear fucking weapon, okay? Russia, Germany, Romania, they can all have the democracy they want. They can have a big democracy cakewalk right through the middle of Tiananmen by God Square. And it won't make a lick of a difference. Because we have got the bombs, we've got the Undertaker, we got Kane, we got the hosses. John Wayne's not dead, he's frozen. And as soon as we find the cure for cancer, we're going to thaw out the Duke, and he's going to be pretty goddamn pissed off. Do you know why? Have you ever taken a cold shower, folks? I did. I did with those twins that I can't remember the names of from back in the 60s. They were large, obese individuals. Well, multiply that by 15 million times. That's how pissed off the Duke is going to be. I'm going to get the Duke and John Cassavetes and Lee Marvin and Sam Peckinpah and a case of whiskey and drive down to Texas. You know what? Why don't you just shut up and sing the song, pal? Because I'm an asshole. I am an asshole. I'm an asshole, yo yo, yo yo, yo yo. I am an asshole, yo yo, yo yo, yo yo. A S S H O L E. A S S H O L E. Arf arf ar, arf 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 ar. Fung ak tum a fung, tum a fling chum. I'm an asshole and I'm proud of it.